The Good, the Bad, and the Boucherian.
The Good, the Bad, and the Boucherian.
And folks, you're listening to The Good, the Bad, and the Boucherian.
I had very little sense of danger as well.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about that. What was that about?
No, just like, I wouldn't think before I did things. Like, I don't even know how to explain that, but yeah, I really wouldn't think before I did things. That time I tried crossing a road. It's okay though, because my mom was there crossing with me. It's a on the outside, so everything kind of worked out. But it's just like that. Like, I didn't have the sense of timing a road next.
Why did Divine cross the road? That's the new saying.
So in terms of getting good grades, I never had issues with teachers about that. But then because I got good grades and I loved asking questions and I'd impulsively ask questions and I used to correct teachers all the time.
You are that kid.
Excuse me, teacher. You put for me are wrong and it's not wrong.
Mm.
I was one of those. So definitely that didn't always have the most, you know, wonderful reception from the teachers. And the teachers never used to understand, because for me, I already understood this concept 20 minutes ago. So now I'm sitting there, I'm really trying to pay attention and I can't do it. Because I'm tired, my brain is tired. And, you know, so the teachers used to think of me as an waiter. And they would say things to me like, oh, you know, if you continue like that, you'll never make it in life. You'll never be anything in life. And you know, when you're a kid,
It's your boy Billy back at it with another episode. Hope you guys are keeping well, keeping safe. I don't know why Divine is laughing as I do my intro. I think this is the first time she's actually hearing me do my intro. But it's another Sunday, another way to start your week with your daily, your weekly dose of greatness. As today, my guest in studio is Daktari. I don't know if she didn't really say doctor, but Divine Mkamwasi, who studies at the University of St. Andrews. And she's involved in many clubs. And we're going to take a deep dive into what all those are about. So she's going to explain what some of these clubs mean and why she's very passionate about some of these things, as well as talk about her journey in med school, her journey with ADHD, her journey going from the 844 to the new system. So in this episode, we'll take a seat back, chill, banter. By the way, guys, we were nominated for our first award only 9 months into podcasting. So thank you so much for the support this far. Divine, it's been a journey, huh? But hey, these guys have really supported this podcast. Let me tell you, I don't even know how. Hey, damn. Divine, tell us about some of these clubs.
Okay, fine. So in my uni, but then that means I have to explain what they are, right? Because they're not like... okay, so in Scottish universities, we have this person called the rector, who is a person who students nominate and elect to sit in the university court and make decisions about what happens in the university. So I work for my university's rector's committee as the widening access officer for international students. So my role is pretty much trying to see how we can get more international students to come here and how we can make the ones who are more comfortable. Then I am the workshop coordinator for a really great group called God's Consent, which promotes a lot of sexual health and which promotes a lot of, you know, affirmative consent, and which gives students the resources they need to be good bystanders. And then I am the second year rep for the St. Andrews Gynecology and Obstetrics Society. That one's self-explanatory. Then I'm the treasurer of the African and Caribbean Society as well. Oh, and I'm a student ambassador as well.
Okay. You just start off by you telling us, don't, why are you shy? Why are you being scared?
It's so scary for me. Actually, I don't talk about this. I don't tell people about this. So it is very scary, genuinely.
You know.
Yeah, what many people are going to hear. And that is a stressful experience for me.
Tell me why.
Why? Because it's just weird. I don't know. I don't have a good reason.
But you're always interacting with people, so.
Yeah, but I don't tell them things about me. So you see.
Yeah.
It's so much easier if I have to talk about racism, because that's such a general experience. It's so much easier if I have to talk about sexual assault and what, because I do that all the time. So such things give me a sexual assault training workshop, a bystander intervention workshop. Fine. I won't even have to think about it. So this is what you have to think about and, you know, talk about myself. And that is very weird for me.
Yeah. So for once, I know you're the social worker friend, the friend who's always there for people, the friend who has everyone's story, the friend everyone can rely on. So today the podcast is that friend to you. So tell us.
So you're giving me free therapy.
Have I lied? No, but have I lied? Thank
Let's
you.
Let's find out, you know, in an hour if you've lied or not.
Well, tell me, when was the first time you knew you had ADHD?
My mom told me.
How? How did she know? Does your mom?
My mom's a teacher.
Tell me about that. It looks like your mom is very well conversant with these things. So let's start there.
My mom's a teacher, and yeah, so one of the things that I need is special education. So she noticed I have some tics, some tendencies, and she was like, you know what, that's actually mild ADHD, and she was right.
So what are these tendencies? We need the whole story. We need to know when she even told you this, how you took it.
I feel like she told me when I was young, so I can't really remember, like, you know, I remember, like, oh my gosh, the day I found out. But I don't know. Let's see. So there's a lot of stuff. Let me think which ones. Okay, my tics. So I used to end up over exerting myself. Like, I'd do so many things from the time I was small to the point that I get overwhelmed by the things that I'm doing. My attention span was nonsense. My schoolwork would have so many careless mistakes. Like, I'd get everything right, but I'd make so many careless mistakes. You know, I'd forget. Like, she'd send me for something, now I forget what I was sent for. Like, after a couple of minutes, I couldn't be still. I was always fidgety. Concentrating was a problem. I used to have excessive physical movement, excessive talking. I was almost never able to wait my turn. I was, like, a bit impulsive. I used to interrupt conversations a lot. You know, such things. I had very little sense of danger as well.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about that. What was that about?
No, just, like, I wouldn't think before I did things. Like, I don't even know how to explain that, but, yeah, I really wouldn't think before I did things. That time I tried crossing a road. It's okay though, because my mom was there crossing with the no, she was on the other side, so everything kind of worked out. But she's bad. Like, I didn't have the sense of timing a road next.
Why did Divine cross the road? That's the new saying.
I don't know. So I those little things, but for me, you know, everything to do with ADHD and a lot of other cognitive disorders is a spectrum. So you have people who have mild forms of it and people who have more debilitating forms of it. So for me, mine is mild. It's enough to affect some aspects of my life, but not enough to warrant like medication, or I don't know if that makes sense to you, or or some forms of additional support. I'm not eligible for some forms of additional support.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So has your mom, when did your mom start the teaching? Has she always been teaching in the special sector? Ama, it came up when she realized that also her daughter.
No, actually, she always had an interest in it,
mm-hmm.
but didn't actually teach in it.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom owns a school, and she, okay, with us, she knew, because, you know, teachers are trained with these things, like with psychology.
Mm-hmm.
Actually part of that curriculum, and that was something she really took a lot of interest in. And when she started owning a school and started getting children who have various conditions on the autism spectrum, who suffer from, who are not neurotypical or suffer from some form of a, you know, cognitive impairment, then she took even more interest in it and started finding out more and just finding out about how best can children like these be supported, and, you know, what are the things you can do, what are the therapies that can be provided, is medication, how should it be administered. So yeah, it's just really always been an interest of hers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So like for you, you'd say all along you've had the support you need. There's no point where, like, you are told stop being too loud or stop being too rampant or stop being. Mm-hmm.
I feel like, I mean, not in any unwarranted situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And for you growing up, like in school, how did the teachers deal with that? Because I know we did an episode on that, and like the guest talked about how the teachers would constantly make him feel like he's inadequate, or sometimes make him feel like he's making too much noise, so he can't concentrate. Yet he himself didn't know he had the issue till later. So looking back in retrospect, he's like, oh, so this is what was happening to me. This is why I couldn't concentrate for too long. This is why I couldn't grasp this concept. So for you, how's your experience been like?
So I've had some really great experiences with teachers, and I've had some really terrible experiences with teachers as well. So for me, I haven't ever struggled with school. I can't say that I've ever really, really struggled with school. Mm-hmm. But I know that I worked really, really hard to, like, I put a lot of effort into my schoolwork, and it was something that I always valued and thought of as important. So in terms of getting good grades, I never had issues with teachers about that. But then, because I got good grades and I loved asking questions, and I'd impulsively ask questions, and I used to correct teachers all the time.
You are that kid.
I was like, excuse me, teacher, you put for me are wrong and it's not wrong.
Mm.
I was one of those. So definitely that didn't always have the most, you know, wonderful reception from the teachers, and the teachers never used to understand, because for me, I already understood this concept 20 minutes ago. So now I'm sitting there, I'm really trying to pay attention, and I can't do it. Mm-hmm. I'm tired, my brain is tired. And, you know, so they used to think of me as a waiter, and mm-hmm. they things to me like, oh, you know, if you continue like that, you'll never make it in life, you'll never be anything in life. And, you know, when you're a kid, so I had problems with that. I was always on the noisemaker list, noisemaker number one all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I got into quite a bit of trouble for being an excessive noisemaker a lot of times. And they're just teachers who did not understand me. So they always used to frustrate me. They always were very mean to me. And even when I was genuinely asking a question, not even with a view to correct them, they take it very negatively. But then I also had really great teachers who might not even have known what was going on in my brain, but they understood that, okay, this student needs a little more engagement maybe. So they do things like give me extra work to work on mm-hmm. in class while they're teaching, and they never used to mind that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really, really great, because that way I don't get do anything that would otherwise disrupt the class. And I, you know, and even I feel good because I feel like someone cares.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there were a lot of teachers who actually went out of their way to give me extra work, to, you know, do all manner of things like that, which was quite nice. So I feel like I've had both, and I had some teachers who are mean, who used to, you know, who used to just be very, I don't know, you know, the whole mean teacher thing. I feel like I don't even have to explain it to you.
Yeah,
that one where you say something in class, a shark click. This one, Aki did a show of mine. I sneezed in class and she sent me out.
Dead ass.
Because I think I'd gotten on her nerve, that one of, eh?
Mm.
Yeah, and then now, because of that, I also had this habit of advocating for people a lot.
You're the lawyer.
Number one. Yeah, you know, teacher, we should change this. I got into quite a bit of trouble for that as well. And it was not very much appreciated. Kwanza, in high school, I used to be the academic.
Even in high school?
I mean, some of, not all of the time, but some of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, especially that you're getting good grades, you feel like probably the teachers will listen to you more. So let me advocate for these other ones.
Well, yeah, I guess, but I don't know, yeah. I've had good ones and I've had not so good ones.
But for you at the time, why did you understand the depth or what it meant to have ADHD?
I feel like, no, I didn't really get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I didn't get it. Like, I didn't understand, maybe because, you know, I was doing well in school.
Uh-huh.
So, you see, people with ADHD tend to do things like sign themselves up for so many things and then not be able to handle those many things and then get really anxious about those many things. So I was one of those people. I was like in every club and I was trying to be my best in every club. That was a lot for my
head. I love how you're saying was. I love that word you're using was, but we get to that.
I love it. But yeah, so I feel like I kind of really didn't understand what having ADHD actually means. I didn't really go out of my way to look at my different symptoms of ADHD as problems. I just decided it's a personality trait to remove, which I suppose was a coping mechanism in itself.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, eventually I started recognizing it a bit more and I started... I started consciously trying to be a better listener and not interrupt people every 5 seconds. I consciously started trying to, you know, to maybe not talk so much and like chill a little bit. Like if it doesn't have to be said necessarily, I won't say it. So such things, I started, you know, slowly learning how to do them. Because as you grow older, people are less tolerant of them.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a kid, it's not a big deal.
Yeah,
but I feel like it's worse when you're older and you have real, you have real responsibilities. You have things you have to do. You have deadlines you have to meet. Being overwhelmed feels worse. You have to, you know, make sure your impulsivity and all these other things are not actually affecting your life. So I feel like I became more aware of it when I'm older and more conscious of doing things to make it easier for myself, like more conscious of the fact that it's so easy for me to want to do everything and, you know, just reminding myself that I don't have to be doing everything all the time and I can just do things and do them really well. Figuring out study methods that help me keep my focus longer. Watch things.
So is it something that you still up to date have to actively consciously remind yourself, or over the years now that you've done it for quite some time, it's becoming much easier?
It becomes easier, but of course you still have moments where you have to remind yourself these things. Like it doesn't actually leave you immediately. You have to, you know, you have to be like, chill, okay. Mm-hmm. Or if I really want to do something and I'm busy like now, sometimes I have to be like, you know what, divine relax. It doesn't have to be done now. It's going to be done another time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and even just like studying, oh my goodness, coming to university and studying without a structured timetable was a lot.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about that. How your experience was from the 844 system where everything you're told to do everything to that new system.
So I think the adjustment is a lot bigger than you think it is. Like, you know, everyone tells you, you know, you'll experience culture shock, blah, 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 blah. But at, in the moment, you're so excited.
Mm-hmm.
Starting this new chapter, and you know you probably think, oh, I'll adjust in a few, it's okay, I'll only have a few days that are iffy and then it will be okay. So there's such a thing as academic culture shock.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm. Tell me about that.
This is a real thing. So academic culture shock, and there's actually a lot of scholarly articles written about this, about personal, professional education, educational slash academic culture shock, like the different parts of it. So a lot of people who studied in a different part of the world, when they move, they realize that things are so different so fast. There are things that people learned in high school that I did not.
Mm-hmm.
So I went, I did pre-med first, and I
studied... Opened a brook house.
Opened a brook house. Miss Grace, brook house.
Uh-huh.
So, okay, I was in Riara, and then I came to University of St. Andrew Street. Like, we finished school in November, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I was in uni in January.
You didn't want a break. You said no.
I don't know. It's the opportunity was there, and I was just like, yeah, why not?
Because part like, of you wanting to overwork yourself, but okay. Mm-hmm.
I because I was like, at the end of the day, what am I going to do for 8 months?
Mm-hmm.
So I did 1.5 years of in UK, it's not called pre-med, it's called Foundation for Medicine. So during that time, I did first year biology, first year chemistry, first year psychology, and a couple of other modules in physiology, and a bunch of English language stuff. Mm-hmm. So, hey, I go to chemistry, my first chemistry class. It was called CH1601, Biological and Organic Chemistry. Mm. Me, with my 844 mindset, I'm like, ah, I was such a star in this topic. And
easy things. Alkenes, alkenes.
Let me tell you, everything I learned in high school was the first 10 minutes of the introductory lecture.
Everything.
Everything. You see that organic chemistry you took 2 terms to learn?
Yeah.
That one.
Uh-huh.
That was literally...
In 10...
10 minutes. Wajua kupigwa na butwa. Let me tell you, I was shocked. Then we were told to draw Sidri paracetamol, I'm a witch drug. And there was someone in class who knew how to do it. Min kasema hapa Mungu saidia. So then the international student, and you've never learned this, we're gonna give you a bunch of tutorials to bring you up to speed. Hey, mm-hmm. Aki, the chemistry people learned is so different from the chemistry I learned.
Oh, yeah,
it's so like the way they learn chemistry is so different, even the way they think of the periodic table is so different.
Hey,
CG, yeah, Ati. Uh-huh. They know different types of CG. There's a Lewis structure, there's a Watt structure, and they know those different things. They know about, like, the way they explain energy bonds is so different. Hey,
mm-hmm.
You know, it was tough. And that's just chemistry. Biology, let me tell you, there's only one thing I ever learned in biology that helps me kidogo, but otherwise it was a whole new world. I was studying CG virology, what, and people had studied some of these things, and I was just there like, damn. We
During the
never,
high,
yeah, oh yeah, we never even had to write. Did you ever write an academic essay in its for four?
No.
I'm
a composition dude, academic essay.
Biology essay. See, na see, at unajua in it for biology essays were those are they ask you a question, you write out a process.
Yeah.
I was given an essay, and those essays had weird topics, man. One was about stabicide and explaining whether it can be genetically beneficial. Suji, one was about non-genetic inheritance. As in, oh, may I come to university and about this, write Suji how many words, and then I have to reference in Harvard. We could reference in Harvard or Chicago. So when we started uni, the only thing I knew about referencing, when we were doing our matriculation, there was a module called the Good Academic Practice. Ikabidi tufanyizo vitu zote. That was the beginning and end of my knowledge of referencing. So me, I'm here, I'm trying to write the essay, but I'm also trying to learn how to put in text references, how to, you know, how to write a good bibliography. What do I listen to my to high school? So I'm struggling there.
Suffering.
I was suffering. Like, it took so much effort to put my grades up, man. Like, it took so much effort to maintain a decent grade throughout pre-med. Then I came to med school. I got culture shock part two.
Yeah? You thought it was over.
I got this. I've been doing this for the past 1.5 years. I'm ready. Bring whatever. I was not ready. Like the medical school, totally different thing. I had to learn a lot of new stuff. I had to play catch up with stuff people have learned in high school again that wasn't covered in some of the modules I did. I had to get used to reading in a whole different way. And you can imagine, at least when I was doing pre-med, so I was studying 3 different subjects.
Yeah.
There were technically 5 if you add the other stuff, like the English language stuff and the other extra modules we had to prepare for medicine. But end of the day, pre-med was kind of chilled because I had 3 different subjects, which meant 3 different exams, which meant, you know, I can study for things independently. And if I'm studying 3 different subjects, I probably have like maybe 1 or 2 hours of lectures for everything per day, ama an afternoon of labs for the sciences. But yeah, so it was the content, if you divide the subject, it wasn't that much. Thrown into med school, I don't have units, so everything is kind of together. So my anatomy, my physiology, my all of that stuff is together. They teach us, they call it a spiral curriculum. Imagine kuna wakanga na types za curriculum. How they do it is they teach you related things together. Exam ni moja. So everything you learn in a semester, this is 18 plus, 16 plus, 18 plus, whatever plus hours of lectures every week. Everything examinable, every single thing you learn, everything that the lecturer has posted in your... So we have a timetable and you can click on things and you'll find notes posted, blah, blah, blah. Your whole life is controlled by your timetable, which is also very weird for me. And every single thing is examinable. You only have one exam, like one theory test. Then the others are all practical tests. But everything is examinable. And you're like everything, it's pretty much up to you. Then me, it's for 4, who was so used to pen, paper, nini. Nikakuja kwa place in it, basically paperless. You know, learning how to study with a computer was a main problem.
Uphill task,
because I'm not understanding how I'm looking at the screen and I'm supposed to understand. Me, you know, I had to andika so that it can enter my brain.
And then you highlight, highlight different colors.
What a shida, cards are printing me expensive. I laugh, So you just have to learn how to use your computer or whatever device you have. And I was just like, damn. And these guys have been doing this all their lives, so that's no new thing for them. So that was a really tough thing. It makes you question, hey, am I even intelligent enough? It gives you some very serious imposter syndrome. You start questioning your intelligence, you start questioning what you're doing there. You start thinking, hey, this would have been so much easier if I just stayed home. And then I guess the added aspect of having no one you know around you. Okay, it's not like that for everybody, but I came to Scotland. And Scotland doesn't exactly have many Black people. So, but when I first joined the uni, things have changed drastically in the past 3 years. But when I first came to this uni, let me tell you, I used to see a Black person in the street and freak out a little bit.
Why?
I was so happy.
Hey.
We were in a student body of 8,000, we were 69. Yeah. So,
that's crazy.
So I used to get so happy. So you now imagine, at least you see, if I went to a Kenyan uni, I'd definitely have friends of mine in my class, or I'd have people I know. Yeah, if I was in the deep end, it was me. I didn't know anybody. I had to make new friends from scratch. Like, I didn't have anyone who can introduce me to other people. I didn't have any, like, I had to figure out who to hang out with, where to go, who to go with, who didn't to make friends with. And I'm actually shy, by the way. So,
well,
but okay. If that's what you're feeling yourself.
If you tell me I to talk in front of people, I can do that. Fine. What do you want me to say? That's cool. But then now you're telling me to go talk to people. So I had to kind of figure that out. And then figure that out. And again, hey, oh my God, I forgot the most important culture shock I faced. I couldn't hear my lecturers.
You know you're copying.
Let me tell you.
Even after all the Netflix we've watched, Bado.
You don't understand. Netflix is nothing. Bro, the first time I went to a lecture hall, I had excellent lecturer. And he has a very thick Scottish accent. And I wasn't understanding him. I had to play the recording times like 0.5. Ndio nielewe. Ama nieke subtitles. For the fact, in Scotland, I used to jesus hear what people are saying by like facial expressions, and I always used to know, of course, they'll ask me my name, where I'm from, nini. So nilikonga tu na jesus hear, but akisikuwa nelewa watu walikuwa nasema nini.
Unasema tu, let me hope. You know that time when
no,
it's like when a Ndodhi guy is talking to you, then you're just agreeing.
Alafu sasa anaongea chemistry. Hey. That was mad.
And in Kenya, you're the hero. You're the savior for the village. Hey.
Yeah, that was crazy.
But again, you said with like ADHD, you are able to grasp concepts very fast. So was it? I can imagine how much is a struggle now that you already have that ability, but now you're still having to overreach so that you can be at par with everyone else. That's actually crazy.
That's the first time in my life I've ever experienced that, struggling with school. I have never ever struggled with school. Like, if I worked harder and they came back up. Like, that was, I used to just, put in a little bit more effort, good grades come. Now here, I had to sit down, learn my learning style, learn how I best
understand. See vibes and inshallah.
Yeah, have an actual schedule, because it's so easy to like slip behind and no one cares. Like, if I'm behind on my lectures, okay, there's attendance. But, you know, attendance and actually learning are two very different things. So no one, and again, I only have two assessments, right? I have a mid-semester assessment and an end-of-semester assessment. So I only have two opportunities. And it's all or nothing because I have one exam. I don't have at multiple units. I tell myself, oh, I'll be better at this than that, because what they do in our exams is like they don't have at one question is for this unit.
Yeah.
They give you related things. So you can find one question is for maybe three different things that have been put together. Mm-hmm. So you actually have to know. Yeah, you have to understand. You have to, and they're timed. This thing, they've timed it in such a way that you can only use 1 minute per mark. And you'll notice
this one's for the next one, Rosafi. Don't waste your time.
They've timed the time exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So there's very little extra time. Yani ni ile to the submitting exam ukikuwa na 35 seconds left. And you get zero.
And there's no, my internet lagged.
You have 15 extra minutes to nini if your internet is lagging, nini. So if you've not emailed them in those 15 minutes, bala.
Nile tu, we are sorry.
They give you zero.
Damn.
And it was late, and then you've emailed them after to tell them that there was a problem. Watakwambia that they're going to have a meeting, and they are going to determine whether your reason was good enough.
That ain't it.
But then it was crazy for me, like having such going to this place where I remember for my assignments for chemistry, for med, my assignments look very different, but for kinachem, it used to be even if it's a millisecond after the due time, there are some marks that are removed.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just a couple of milliseconds after. Imagine zinatolewa kabisa.
Nasili unenda kulia.
They remove, so they do a 20-point grade scale.
Mm-hmm.
So, kwa liko upate 18, kwa it's been a millisecond after, unapata 17. Ivo, after 24 hours, you lose this number of points. After this time, you lose 5%. After this time, you lose... And so strict, they don't play with it. They do not play with it.
Damn, I don't mean get it, because that's actually very crazy. You know, even in Kenya, when you're writing your composition and the individual is passing around, you can ask for, just give me 2 minutes, I finish this sentence, I'm finishing.
They tell you, so after 1 hour, it's just 1 hour to the time issue. If you're in a physical exam, it's now 1 hour to the end of your exam. No one is allowed to leave anymore. You're only allowed to leave. You're not allowed to leave 1 hour into, and you're not allowed to leave 1 hour to.
So even though umekazwa,
1 hour to the end of the exam, no one is allowed to leave the room. So kama ulimaliza exam mapema ulikuwa unafaa uko ushatoka, kama ulikuwa unataka kwenda to the washroom ungekuwa umeenda before ifike that 1 hour mark. Like, so when it reaches time, they'll tell you it's 15 minutes, it's 10 minutes, it's 5 minutes, it's 2 minutes, it's a minute. That one, you get up, there's no ati for waiting. Immediately that bell goes, you find invigilator for every line, and they pick up all your papers, and you all leave the gym or wherever you're doing the exam from, whether it's a lab, a gym, or wherever. You leave. Mm-hmm. There is no discussion, there's no conversation. Your everything should be down. If they you can get nini academic malpractice.
Ukweli, that's proper academic culture shock. Proper.
Imagine ati what are different types? What are the different types of academic malpractices? Hey, nikajua kuna contract cheating, aiding and abetting, plagiarism. Mimi hata nilikuwa nimesikia hizi vitu zingine kweli.
Mwanangu kutoka barani alishangaa hizi vitu.
Ati, we have to do a plagiarism check on every single assignment you submit. I can't even plagiarize myself.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing.
Like what? Hey, the way in 844, you know, we used to rewrite the same compositions like 250 times.
Yeah.
Same insult.
And they actually teach you to write the same thing. They tell you, when this story comes like this, make sure you twist it to come back to a kidnapping. It doesn't have a kidnapping.
Story, they tell you, make sure you write that story again. And you know, you have to.
Yeah, perfect.
That's the same story, but change something.
Yeah.
At you. Hey, you need to talk to Nato self-plagiarism. And then if your plagiarism is over, I think, is it 30%? You have to go in for a session to discuss your paper. And sometimes plagiarism, you referenced badly. That's why the system is reading it as plagiarism. Mtoto itoko mwenyako anajua ku reference alisafa.
Gafla binvu.
Hey. But luckily, I had a really good tutor who helped me and who helped me find resources that can help me learn. Hadi nikakua expert wa ku reference.
Hey, sir, would have passed on those skills after this recording.
Nilijua at APA, Chicago, Harvard. Nilikuwa naandika essay nasema, but is who?
You're crazy. But yeah. Sasa, what's always normally the relation between like having ADHD and being a fast learner and grasping things fast? Because I've seen that's a very common trend. So is it something that's interrelational? Like for every person who I've talked to who has it, tells me for them they can learn things faster and all of that.
I would just say one thing is, it's not, I'm not sure. Okay, they do say people with, I'm not sure, there's like, they don't really know, but a lot of people with ADHD are very, very good at class, are very, very good at, you know. But it's actually false, by the way. Because people say, like, it's just that they work differently. Let me say that. I don't know how to is properly. I feel like I'm not using my words. Give me a second to think. Okay, so a lot of people think that people with ADHD are naturally smarter or that they have higher IQs than children without ADHD, but they really don't. Their brains just work differently, and there's no real correlation between ADHD and intelligence. However, a lot of highly intelligent children and adults with ADHD rely on the more efficient. I don't like that more efficient, but let's just use more efficient. More efficient parts of their brain to kind of make up for. It's actually a sign that they're overcompensating something. Do you get that?
Like, yeah.
The smartness, quote unquote, is them overcompensating for the fact that they know, or maybe they don't know, but that they feel like something is wrong. So you'll find people who have ADHD who are very organized, very well put together, very on top of their things, but it's because they're anxious that they're losing control or that they don't have control over it. So it's actually, yeah, it's not really true. But people with ADHD are known to hyperfixate on things that are important to them. So, if school is something that's important to a child with ADHD, you'll find that they might hyperfixate on that and do really, really well in school.
So that was that your case?
To be honest, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if God just naturally made me a good student, or I'm overcompensating for what I mean, I'm overcompensating for the fact that I know I find it hard to concentrate, so I work harder to make sure I'm concentrating. What it is. Yeah, it could be either or.
And then as well as people with ADHD normally are jacks of all trades. So you'd find someone like you now that you're the guest, let me just use you. Like you knows how to do so many things. You're in many clubs, you're in many societies, you are a good baker, you avid reader, you're in med school, you're a tutor, you do all those things. So, and for some of us, we literally can't balance all those things and still do our best. So for you, what is that about?
That's actually a symptom of ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
That's a symptom. That's a genuine symptom. Like they, people with ADHD can really tend to do so many things. Like awezi kama kitu kimoja waache. Their brain allow them to do that, so they like, you know, they're very hyperactive. No, and okay, you know, it manifests as inattentiveness and hyperactivity. There's two different things.
Mm-hmm.
But in the hyperactivity side, that oversubscribing to many things, trying things, that's actually ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if someone who has ADHD doesn't plan their lives well, has ADHD and they're extremely planned and they plan everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're planning everything because they find it hard to stay organized. So you find that they end up doing so many things and a lot of times they even get overwhelmed by them. You know, so that's actually a symptom. ADHD rather than ADHD makes you good at many things. It just
makes sense.
It makes you more likely to pick up many things because you're so easily distracted. That looks cool. Let me try it. Oh, that looks cool. Let me try it. Oh, that looks cool. Let me try it. Oh, let me do this. Let me do that. Let me do this.
Mm.
Yeah.
And also perhaps being in the state where the state of not knowing things, so you don't want to be, some of us are okay with not knowing things, but someone like Divine didn't want to not know. She'll do her research. She'll come, we'll do her homework before she comes to the podcast.
I didn't even do homework. That's cab? Excuse me?
You know, just between the listeners, I don't know who the listeners will believe, me or Divine. But
I think you're exaggerating this story to suit your purposes. Isn't that what you thought as do? Nini wa tuwa media nini?
I could use that to make my votes increase.
I see what you're doing here. I really do. I see what you're doing here.
But again, tell us a bit about, you know, talked about where sometimes do you ever suffer burnout after doing all these things?
100%.
Mm-hmm.
And
you'd know, you especially, now that you're my friend. Tell me about that. Nah, shout. Nimesema today we're shouting. It's a shouting contest in this podcast.
Wait, don't you? Like that. But I don't know if my burn, okay, yeah, it has a little to do with ADHD. I don't think it's really about ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just do too much sometimes and I end up overly investing myself in the things that I do, which now that part is the ADHD. And yeah, sometimes you just get tired, man. Because first of all, being a medical student here is a real job.
Mm-hmm. Like,
I study a lot, man.
You're always doing the most.
We spend so much time studying. There are so many early mornings and late nights. You have to understand the content. You have to, you know, that's already a lot by itself. And then here, Aki Society is a serious business.
Mm-hmm.
Like the societies I'm part of, like it's not a joke.
Mm-hmm. There's actually something you have to.
I have to put in the work. So, for example, I do this thing called Got Consent, which is by the way, absolutely great. One of the best things I've ever done in my life. And got it's actually got consent, like with a question mark. And it's it's a part of our union, our students' union that deals with consent and sexual assault and safety and you know, all these things surrounding safety and, you know, starting all these conversations about consent and what it should look like. And I actually had to sit down and create a workshop about consent and persons with disabilities. Mm-hmm. I had to sit down and help create the main workshop that we do. We had to write a module that first years have to do before they come to uni to teach them about consent, to tell and report places. I had to run workshops and schedule them because I'm the workshop coordinator for those guys. So I have to actually do all that, like a real job. And so there are so many examples of how here societies are taken as such serious business. Societies meet every week. They plan events. They do things. They request for sponsors. It's a lot of work.
Mm.
Again, I didn't think it was going to be a lot of work like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really glad I do those things, but they do take a toll. Because
mm-hmm.
so I can find in a day, maybe I have to study, I have to go do something for myself, I have to go work out, I have to go I have like so many things to do. Then I have like 3 society meetings and it's just like, wow, if I can just get to the end of today, I will be so happy. As well. So over time, you know, the fatigue, the burnout actually comes. And me, there's a day I got so burnt out, I got a phenomenal migraine. Nilikuwa nasikia nikate kichwangu nieke hapo kando, ikae tu ipoe, nirudishe. And like I literally blacked out. But it was so funny. I got a migraine. And then I was like, I knew I need to chill. Because I'd been working really, really hard, having a lot of late nights, a lot of early mornings. And then I decided, let me take a 5-second nap, bro. I woke up later. Because my body was actually shutting down. You know, when your body shuts down, it shuts down. So I guess I can't say stress. I do experience a lot of stress and burnout, but I've been learning to manage it. I feel like now that one is a lot about, you know, I feel like that one mostly has been for me about learning how to be organized. I feel like the organization has really helped. Like I started keeping diaries, writing myself notes, using my phone's calendar, making sure that I've not put too many things on my calendar, making sure I have rest times or rest days, making sure I have things that help me relax. So like here in uni, I have a friend who has the cutest dog and she lets me walk her dog like twice a week. And I mean, puppy love and endorphins are great, are a good way to at least make sure I'm getting some relaxation. So I guess for me that's been a real help, just learning how to stay organized, make lists. I feel like I make so many lists of everything. Keep diaries, take up reminders, set aside time for planning. You know, that's also why I'm really trying. I stopped exercising for a while and I feel like that did a number on my stress and burnout because it became so much worse and so much more frequent. And now, when I started exercising again, I feel like, again, because that's a way to, you know, let off some steam, to relax, and it's a great way to sleep better. So that has helped a lot as well. And then just, you know, having people who are going through the struggle with you. A lot of my friends are very outgoing and they do the most all the time. So it's nice having people like that who remind you, no, when you're doing the most, kumbuka, ku relax. And, you know, it's nice when the person who's telling you to remember to relax is someone who is, you know, doing things similar to you or who's experiencing things similar to what you're experiencing.
So mini kwa very relax, ndio maana kwa sababu sifanyi med ndio maana unisikiangi.
Now I know. Even my listeners know. Guys, I'm only saying divine. Relax. Mimi aniski.
By the way, I didn't say that. I said my friends are very outgoing people. Did I mention anything about being a medical student?
You said people who do similar things. People who
have
been through the same experience.
Unaona vile watu insecurities zao zinaanzanga kushow. Sema tu kama uko unataka kwa med school. It's okay, Billy. This is a safe place.
Let me tell you, that is the last thing I'd want to do for myself. I wouldn't be a podcaster. No, tell me. Would I be a podcaster if I was in med school? Ebu niambie tu kweli.
I know so many people in med school are podcasters. So yes, you would.
I wouldn't. I'd be suffering. Na misi mtu napenda kusoma hivyo. The way you said you have to read on a daily. I don't know how to do it, honestly. So hiyo. No way. That's but the one career nasema. Kamu jaitu wa Rosafi. Na Mungu.
Ikae.
Yes, it's because of passion. Oh, I have passion. You know, the things you can say, oh, I have passion for. Like, I have a passion for podcasting. And here in med school, after first year, there's nothing like passion anymore.
Really?
Tell me about that. Me, I've been told that by my friends.
I love medicine. Okay, me, I don't know. I'm a medical geek for real. I love medicine. Like, it makes me go crazy. Like, oh my gosh. It makes me very happy. I love learning, and it always gives me opportunities to learn. I'm very passionate about women's health and children's health and maternal fetal medicine. And I love reading more and more about that and finding out more about that. My experiences shadowing in hospitals, they're a bit brutal, but oh my gosh, the first time I ever watched a surgery, I fell in love.
You're not serious.
Oh my gosh, I went nuts. So my grandfather is a doctor and he's a surgeon, and he took me to his operating room and I went nuts. Like, wow, it was such an experience. Let me tell you, there's a high there, like there's a real high. I understand why people fall so madly in love with it. And it was just such a beautiful experience. Being in a hospital, because I've shadowed in different types of places. I love talking to patients. Aki kwanza tukikwanezo, we have these things called placements where we talk to patients, they tell us about their conditions. Aki me, I love doing that. I love like talking to them, finding out what's up, and just listening to them and what they have to say, and just making them feel like, you know, someone cares about what they're going through. And you even see how much they appreciate it. If you question them nicely, so me for real, it's hard. It's yani, it's hard. You know, for yani uketi ulie, ukapa uko 2 a.m. kwa library flani unasoma unasema tu Mungu wangu. Why did I get myself into this? But beautiful. Like I'll complain and I'll watch a lecture and I'll be like, oh my gosh, this is actually cool. Like this is actually some very cool stuff right here. But I'll be complaining because it's hard. But I'll be like, after I've understood it, I'll just be like, wow. Yani, like right now I'm doing a lot of cardiovascular stuff. So in my head, I am like, I just sit and I'm like, wow. I know how this thing in my chest works. Like, I actually know how it works. Like, wow, that's so cool.
And yeah,
when I walk, by who? Why?
Uh-huh.
You can afford heartbreaks.
No one has time for that.
Also, I'm talking to so really.
Oh, yeah. Men in the podcast. That's your sign to shoot your shot. Mumeskia. Mumeskia. Shoot your shot.
Please don't.
No. I leave her socials in the bio. So
wait.
Feel free.
Medicine is character development. I don't need any more.
I was really hoping you'd say psych when you said you fell in love with the surgery when you first surgery. Because I see these things on TV and I'm like, no way. So I was just hoping you'd say psych and you're still not saying psych. Is it coming?
I don't even have, like, I just like it. I love it. I mean, I feel like medicine gets really hard and it's so easy to forget why you loved it in the first place or why you did it. Although, to be fair, a lot of African make smart people do medicine. Much and kwambe, jum to talk a little bit, it's still as much aqua doctor, it's not a must.
See, must, isn't you?
Making many things, see, must aqua doctor, please.
But we want to call our children doctors. Divine. See, your mother is calling you doctor. Monotaki, wait, what way? Guys, but Divine is misleading you. Make sure you force your children to do medicine.
No, 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 let me tell you. One thing my mom actually made sure, like before, she was like, I'm sure this is what you want to do. You know, if you do like biomed engineering, like this, like that, you'll finish your degree a lot faster.
Mm.
You know, you can be anything you want to be. Are you sure you don't want to go to culinary school? You don't want to.
Hey, we need these mothers in the 21st century. Damn.
Let me tell you, my dad was like, are you sure? You're sure? You're sure you're not doing this just because your grandfather is a doctor? You know, we don't text. You're allowed to change your mind. Just because you said you'll be a doctor when you are 4, it doesn't mean you have to be a doctor now.
When things change.
Yeah, so I feel like mine was actually my choice, my personal choice. No one ever pressured me into it. Kwanza niliuliza, are you sure? So many times.
I didn't know you start doubting. You're like, What's wrong with this course now?
Genuinely, truly, truly in love with. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Since you were a child, you know, remembering when I was a child, I wanted to be a pilot at some point. Like, my goalposts have always shifted.
The only thing I wanted to be, I used to watch a lot of Tyra Banks. And when I was younger, I used to be one of the tallest kids in class.
Mm-hmm.
I also used to be one of the skinniest kids in class. So I used to watch Tyra Banks and I used to imagine that I will be the first doctor model in the world. Doctor supermodel, like damn. Then you can figure class 6. My body said we're not growing anymore, the only growing we're doing. And that's how that dream of being the world's first doctor supermodel died.
Puberty said, well, here you are.
Kufika above 5 feet, it was effort.
So tell me, you've done shadow work in different hospitals. What's something that to you was a good experience, but to me, I'll find traumatic?
Surgery.
Which surgery?
I feel like I've seen so many different things. I've seen a bone shaving one. I've seen a colonoscopy. What do you call that? Colonoscopy, even. Yeah, it's called a colonoscopy.
As long as you've not seen a woman giving birth, I think that I'm fine with that. Pardon?
I have, and it was wonderful. That is the moment. You know the way you have moment?
Yeah.
Like in movies.
Yeah.
I had one of those. The first time I saw a birth, oh my goodness. That is when I knew I have to work with either in guy. Okay. At the moment, my mind is still very open changing, but that experience made me feel like I really need to be in this room to be doing this.
Like, how?
I need to, you know, like either be the neonatal guy or be the obstetrician. I don't know, but I had, as in, oh my God, a baby being born is so beautiful. Okay. There's a whole disgusting part, but when the baby comes out and the baby's okay and the baby cries, the whole room kind of goes silent and it's like you've all witnessed a miracle. Like, it's so cool. Me, I love it.
Yeah, I need the mother's giving birth are being traumatized, but Divine is there having her halo moment.
I had the moment. But I feel, I don't know. I love it. I love it. I absolutely am.
Damn, and
so.
And was your love for all this inspired by your grandfather, or who's been your biggest inspiration for?
My grandfather, my aunties, there are so many doctors in my family, and I'm really close to my grandfather. I'm really close to my mom's sister, who's a very, very cool doctor. She doesn't even practice, though. She's a research doctor. and she's very cool, and I'm very close to her, and just the two of them are just so inspirational to me. And then I also have other doctor mentors who I've been introduced to through various members of my family. My mom and my dad have both really, like, have both really tried to make sure I have mentors outside of my family who are doctors of different kinds, who can positively impact me, who can occasionally take me to have shadowing experiences, and which is great.
Your parents have really done the most. I think you should give them a shout out in this podcast, because your parents have been very supportive. Like, from what you said, your parents have actually just said, for our daughter, we'll go the extra mile. If she wants to do medicine, we are behind her. If she wants mentors, we will help her.
Even, like, for real, even when I'm mad at them, I always remember that. At the end of the day, they, for real, are my biggest fans. As in, you know, these guys, there's a day in high school I won an award. And that day, because they thought they had an inkling that I was going to win that award, Walita, like, my mom called her sister, my dad called his sisters, wakakuja, to start embarrassing me singing Luya and Tita songs. And I'm like, guys, are you guys for real? Like, oh my god.
Hey, all the, they said our daughter all the way. Let our daughter never stay.
Every time we had presumine and my dad comes, he used to shout at, yeah, go. As if I'm like, guys, every single time my dad award, you just hear my dad shouting.
I'm so embarrassed, but there's someone who's saying my dad could just do this.
Damn.
Okay, so yeah, even when sometimes they piss me off, because of course parent-child relationship plus not now a fight. By the end of the day, first they know they got me, and I know that they're fans. They're fans.
At least I'm gonna pay a shout out.
Club.
Well, let not be said. Let our daughter never go and say that we didn't support her in her dreams, in her ambition. Yeah. So I guess that is it, folks. Thank you so much, guys, for listening to this part of this podcast. Please tell us, what are your thoughts on this episode? Have a lovely week ahead, and cheers.